Good morning to all of our online family. Glad you're here with us this morning. I know you've been praying for me. When you saw me come in with a suit on, you're like, uh-oh, let's pray for that guy. Thank you for praying for me. So, it's not strange. I came in this morning, walked through the door, greeted everybody. I like to come up here and I like to greet our wonderful praise team and say hello and soak up some of the fire that's coming off the praise team. But the closer I got to the altar, it's like I could just feel something different. There's something different in the air. There's something different in the atmosphere. I could just feel it. And the closer I got to the altar, it was like I had to fight back tears. It's like, Lord, what is this? What's in this house? What are you doing in this house? I believe that today could be the day. You ever heard me say it before? Today could be the day. You never know when God says, I'm going to just visit my people in a way that they've never experienced before. Do you know revival could break out in this place today? Do you realize that today could be the day? That's not my sermon, by the way. So Pastor already talked about all the things going on in this world today. Right. And, you know, going up to the election, my wife and I, Brooks and I, would be watching the news. And she would tell me, and she would be absolutely right. She'd be like, David, cut it off. Cut it off. Just cut it off. Because they're not talking about anything. They're saying the same old thing over and over and over and over again. And she was absolutely right. But you see, I like it. You know, I kind of get caught up in the politics a little bit, see what's going on, see what's being said, who's being nominated for this, who's all this stuff. You know, it's kind of interesting. But the Lord began to speak very clearly to me about something. And so today, I need you to pay close attention, because this is not a sermon, I don't believe, just for faithful word. I believe I need to speak out through the cameras and to the atmosphere and say, American church, you need to wake up and be careful. You need to wake up and be careful, because God is wanting to do something. He's ready to break out in our churches. But what's stopping it? Who can stop God? Who can stop God from doing what he wants to do? Nobody. And I believe, I feel it, I know it. He's wanting to do something. Let me give you a couple of quick little testimonies, real quick. My wife and I used to travel a lot in ministry. We go to different churches. And this has been way back. We've been in ministry now 30 plus years. And so we were youth pastors at one point in time. Youth pastors. That's when I was young and I actually had hair. And so we would go out to these churches and we would go visit a church with just say 10, 12, 15 youth. We would minister, preach, pray, and God would just show up. These little kids, I'm talking about this high, some of them, would go and put their hands on people, and the power of God would hit them, and they would be healed in Jesus' name. I'm talking about children. God just showed up. And we were so ignorant. We didn't know what was going on. We're like, whoo, I got some. You see the power in this hand? It had nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. All Jesus. All God. All his timing. All his plans and purpose. But here is my point. We've seen God show up in a big way going back 30 years ago. And so I have to admit, I've been chasing revival in a way because I know what he can do. I've seen it. I went to a meeting. So John Kilpatrick, the pastor of Brownsville, came to Lake Charles. So I went with my sister. He called all the pastors to come up. So I went up. He started praying for all the pastors. Started going down the line. He got to the pastor right beside me, and he stopped praying, and he turned around and left. Now, I'm standing there like, God, you know I want revival. What's going on? And here's what I got. I don't need a man to pray for you. Amen. I'm going to touch you. Amen. I'm going to prepare you. So I'm standing there, and it's like warm honey began to fall out of heaven. Whew. And it just poured over me. And I don't know what happened after that because I was out the entire service. I couldn't tell you what he preached on. I couldn't tell you where I was at the time. I just know. Amen. I know he came over me. And he anointed me for something. And I haven't seen it. He poured something on me. He anointed me with an anointing that I've yet to see come to pass. And I'm like, God, I know you want to do something big, something great. I know you want to pour out the anointing of healing and see the gifts of healing flow through the church. I know you want to see people saved all over, family members saved, cousins, nieces, nephews, neighbors. Just sweep through our households. I know it's coming. But what's holding up revival? What's holding up revival? Larry Ravenhill wrote a book about revival. Why Revival Tarries, I believe is the name of it. Talking about things that will hold up revival. And that's what 3 a.m. this morning, I couldn't sleep, woke up, and I'm just hearing all of these things about it's time for the church to get ready. It's time for the church to get ready. But it's also time for the church to wake up. Yes. It's time for the church to wake up. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could stand and sing, knowing that we have clean hands and a pure heart? You know what my one prayer is for today? That God would bless us with an anointing of repentance. Yes. That is the greatest anointing that we could have. Amen. That's the greatest blessing that we could have. That's how I got saved. Somebody witnessed to me. God came and convicted my heart. I repented of my sins, and my life was changed forever. Amen. I would love to see the power of God fall in this place.
Yes. Amen.
And we just experienced weeping and crying and repentance underneath the power of God, the conviction of God. I said all that to say this. I have a message for you this morning. I'm going part four of the victory in the midst of the storm I've been preaching about. Blessings after the storm. Thank you, Glenn, for changing my title. Blessings after the storm. I got the wrong sermon. No. But in this part four, there's a couple of things I need to deal with. And I need us to put some things away from us and behind us forever. So are you ready to go with me? Are you ready to go with me? Do you believe that today might be the day? Today might be the day. It might be the day. So if you would turn to the book of Acts, chapter 28. That's where I've been preaching from. And while you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of something. Acts chapter 28. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, don't fall for that? Don't fall for that. Have you ever said that? Let me see your hand if you've ever heard the statement, don't fall for that. Okay, all over the room. Don't fall for that. So that's what I've been hearing. That's what I've been hearing. Don't fall for that lie from the enemy anymore, David. Don't fall for those tricks anymore. So when we say that, this is what we mean. It is a saying that means that you recognize a trick and refuse to be deceived by it. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that lie. Don't fall for that trick. So here's an example. False advertisement. Sometimes you'll see things that's just false advertisement. There is, if you see in the online and it says, beautiful home for sale in New Orleans, has fully finished basement, never floods. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Somebody's lying. If you go online to surebets.com and it tells you, here is the sure bet. Bet everything you have that the New Orleans Saints will win the Super Bowl this year. Don't fall for that. Please don't fall for that. Don't do it. If you watch a commercial and that commercial advertises super shampoo guaranteed to grow thicker, fuller hair, do not. I know a guy who tried it. I know a guy. He told me it didn't work. I'm not telling you who this guy is. He's a friend of mine. I visit him in the mirror every day. False advertisement. Fake news. We see it all around us. But do you know we sometimes give in to fake news? I went to the store with my wife. Tell you one quick story. We went to this store. They opened this new store. It's more catered towards ladies than men. I'm not going to tell you which store, but they sell a lot of makeup there, if you can tell. I went to the store with her. So, you know, I dropped her off. I went parked. And so I came back to go into the store. So I walked in. The lady said, may I help you? I said, sure. I said, is there a men's section in here? This is not a week ago this happened. She said, yeah, we got a men's section. So we're talking to each other. And so I go to the back to this little small section. That's the men's section. And she said, as you can see, sir, we have some brand new hair brushes. We have brand new men shampoo. And I look at her and I said, ma'am, do you know you are not helping me right now, right? You do understand that. Just false advertisement. We have a men's section for all men. No, you don't. Not for me. Not for Brother Vic. Anyway, people people fall for false advertisement all the time. All the time. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a couple of the things that we fall for as a church, and not just Faithful Word. I believe the American church is under attack. And it's a couple of things that they're under attack from. And so I want to share that with you this morning. And so if you will go with me, Acts chapter 28 and verse 1. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta or Melita, some Bible versions say. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Acts 28, 2. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast, what kind of beast was it? Well, you sure it wasn't a nice, kind, sweet, cuddly, stuffed teddy bear? Oh, it was a venomous beast. A venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. Now, I've talked about this last time I spoke before you, and I talked about how this serpent was hanging, literally hanging on the hand of Paul. It came out the fire, bit Paul to the degree where it was hanging off his hand. Now, it's one thing to get bit by a snake and the snake recoils and it's through. Like, it's warning you, get away from me. This thing was hanging off of his hand, which means that it was just pumping venom into Paul. And so verse 28:5 says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And verse 6 says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. I want to address a couple of lies that the enemy is telling us today. He's trying to tell you a couple of things that sometimes we fall for. Here's the first thing, and I touched on this last time, and I'm just going to touch on it a little bit today. The first lie the enemy tells us that we fall for is this. You are tied to your past mistakes, and you have to live under the cloud of your past for the rest of your life. Don't fall for that lie. Don't fall for that lie. Now, you see, I know there are people. I've mentioned how my wife and I have been in ministry for over 30 years now. We've prayed for a lot of people in a lot of different churches, a lot of different places. So many times people will come up to us and tell us, I'm not worthy of God. I'm not worthy for him to save me. I'm not worthy for God to heal me. I'm not worthy for. And they will just go through this list of reasons why they are not worthy enough for God's blessing. And here's what I tell them. You know what? You're absolutely right. You're not worthy of God's blessing. But through Jesus, the price that he paid, the blood that he shed, he has transferred you from being unworthy to now you are worthy as a child of God. But you know, that's a lie that the enemy tells us over and over and over and over again, and we keep listening and believing it. We keep falling for it. How long are we going to fall for that lie? You're not worthy enough. Verse 4, Acts 28:4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. They proclaim death over Paul and said that he deserved to die. He deserved to die. How many times when we come up for prayer, sickness, you need more money, you need a better job, and you're standing there and you're thinking, God, I just don't know if you want to do that for me. Pastor's been preaching on the will of God. God, I don't know if it's your will for me to be any better off than what I am. Am I the only one who's ever gone through that thought, that attack in your mind? And then sometimes when you go to God in prayer and you're saying, Lord, here is my request, the enemy will bring back every little thing. Remember what you said 8 days ago? Remember what you did 65 years ago? Do you remember that? And we begin to replay that and agree with everything the enemy says. And before you know it, we talk ourselves out of our miracle. We give in to the lie and we talk ourselves out of our miracle. That is a lie, church, that we have to get past. God is not dangling your past over your head saying, you know what? If you slip up any, I'm just going to remind you of everything. The blood of Jesus is enough. And when we pray, it cleanses us. It washes us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When you pray and you say, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Guess what happens? He forgives you. And you then have the right to go to him and ask him for whatever you need. I wish I had somebody who could say amen in this church. Amen. Sister Molly, how do you say amen in Spanish? Amen. Amen. Maybe we need to start saying amen. Maybe you can say that one with me. Don't allow your past mistakes and failures to talk you out of believing God for a new day. There is hope for you. There's hope for your health. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your finances. There is hope for you. God wants to touch you. Amen. Where you are right now in this place, watching online from wherever you are in the world, God wants to touch you right now. Amen. Get the voices out of your head. Tell the enemy once and for all, I'm not falling for that one again. If you come for prayer and that voice begins to speak, if you have to say it out loud, say, I'm not falling for that one again. Amen. You know what? Let's practice that. Can you say that with me? I am not falling for that one again. Okay. Okay. I hear a little extra. Devil, you're a liar. I like that. Just add some extra on there, brother. I like that. Let's practice that again. I am not falling for that lie again. Devil, you a liar. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. Wait a minute. The law of what? The Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life has made us, set us free. It's made us free from the law of sin and death. I am not tethered to that anymore. I'm not tied to that law of sin and death anymore. I don't have to give in to that law of sin and death anymore.
Amen.
For the law of the spirit of what?
Life.
Yes. I'm free.
Thank you.
I'm free. I'm free to live.
Amen.
If you want more information on this topic, go back and listen to my last sermon. Let's move on. This second topic, now I need you to bear with me. I need you to have an open mind and an open heart. Because here's the second lie. So the first lie is about you. The first lie the devil does, he comes to you and he attacks you personally. You're not worthy. You're messed up. You're not good enough. You don't deserve it. And all the things that he says, he attacks you in your mind, in your heart, in your faith. In the middle of your storm, in the middle of your battle, he comes and he attacks you. Personally, he attacks you. But this next lie is the attack on everybody else. It's the attack on other people. Here's the second lie. The venom of the viper is harmless. The viper bit Paul. He was like, oh, Paul, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm just hanging on because I have problems. I'm in this fire and I need a way of escape. So I'm just going to latch on to your hand, pump all the venom I can, but I'm not trying to kill you, Paul. That's what the enemy says. And I know it doesn't make sense what I'm saying right now, but I'm about to paint you a picture. It's going to make perfect sense. The venom of the viper is harmless. That is a lie. The viper is not trying to hurt anyone with its harmless, innocent venom. That's a lie. Do you believe that's a lie? If a rattlesnake bites you, are you going to go home and say, oh, that sweet little snake? He just gave me a deposit of harmless, sugary venom. You're going to run to the emergency room. You're going to outrun the car to the emergency room. The venom of the viper is not harmless. Look at Acts 28, verse 4. Now let's unpack this a little bit. This is what they said, Acts 28:4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, what does it say they did? They said among themselves. Now, this is an important phrase right here. They said among themselves. Wait a minute. Paul is the one with this poisonous snake hanging off of his hand. But they began to talk amongst each other. And who do you think they were talking about? Paul. They said amongst themselves. They talked to each other about Paul. But none of them offered to approach Paul to talk to him. Uh-oh. I see one sister shaking her head like, oh, Lord, here we go. They talked amongst themselves. But not one of them went to talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you? Hey, man, how are you doing? I see there's a snake hanging off your hand. We saw this viper latch onto your hand. Do you realize that this thing, when it has bitten people on this island before, 100%, there's a 100% kill rate? Do you realize that you're about to die? No. They didn't do any of that. Did they say, hey, you know what? Maybe we can put a tourniquet on your arm. Maybe we can tie something around your arm and at least prolong your life long enough to where you could say your goodbyes. Uh-uh. What does the Bible say they did? They talked amongst themselves. Man, did you see the size of that snake hanging on that guy's hand? You know he's about to die. You know what else? No doubt, I know for a fact from a credible source, this man is a murderer. He's got to be a murderer. The Bible goes on to say, this is what they said. No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. They said among themselves. There's a strong spirit in our country right now. And that spirit is a spirit of division. There is a spirit. I'm not talking figuratively. I believe there is a demonic spirit. A principality, whatever you want to call it, that is over our nation. And it is a spirit. Spirit, a demonic spirit of division that's trying to rip our nation in half. Can you see it? And so that spirit is trying to rip our nation in half. But here is what we can't do as the body of Christ in America. We can't ignore that spirit. Because if that spirit is in America, in the world, guess where that spirit ultimately wants to get to? The ultimate goal of the enemy is to get to the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say it won't come against it. That's right, brother. You're preaching right now. Amen. Amen. So if the enemy is trying to come against this country, what is the only thing standing in this way from total annihilation of this country? It's the church. It's Christians. If God pulled us out right now, today could be the day, if he decided to pull us out of this world, do you know this world would be in immediate chaos? If there is no Christian presence, this world will be in immediate chaos. Guess what happens if the church does not do its part in the world? There's still chaos. Because you're not praying. You're not fasting. You're not believing God for your nation, for your country, for your leaders. And the sad thing is, the church in America is not praying and fasting and believing God. Now here, wait a minute, David. How can you make that statement? Anybody look around lately? You ever heard that? This is a scripture that says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. The church right now is not prospering in America. I'm not talking about every single church, and I'm not talking about Faithful Word. But if you watch all the chaos right now, pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor, this big name, that big name, all of these big names are just crumbling with allegations and talk and sin and turmoil. The church is in turmoil. And so if the church is in turmoil, What do you think is going to happen to the world? If the spirit of division is in our country trying to divide our country, Christians have got to be on guard that we don't let that spirit come into the church and try to divide the church. How would he do that? They said among themselves. They said among themselves. They didn't go to the person. They just decided to talk among themselves. Hey, let me tell you something. Sister Phyllis, let's talk for a minute. Let me tell you something, sister. Let's just talk amongst ourselves. Yep. I had told myself I was going to stay up here the whole sermon. Almost. So close, Pastor. Yes, so far. They said among themselves. Here's a news flash. I'm going to give you a news flash, and this is not fake news. Talking about people does not help anybody. And it is not seen as harmless in the eyes of God. God doesn't say, oh, they're talking amongst themselves. Look at them. Look how nice. My sheep are biting each other. Well, look at the bite marks on that one. Wow, I didn't know my sheep could bite like that. That's awesome. They said among themselves, it is not seen as harmless in the eyes of God, especially if the conversation turns to unnecessary information sharing. I want to pray for brother so-and-so. Did you hear brother so-and-so? He was sick. Really? I heard brother so-and-so was sick because, you know, he drinks all the time and his liver, and that's because, wait a minute, what's that got to do with praying for brother so-and-so? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at what the word says about this. Because the Lord has taken me on a journey that has convicted me. You know, I still work. So I work. I go to a job and I'm around a couple of hundred people and we talk. And sometimes I'm involved in some conversations. And some of those conversations turn uncomfortable. And I'm thinking in my mind, should I be having this conversation right now? But you know, every time I don't walk away, baby, I want to know what happened to brother, to Bob, who had this thing go on and he got fired for this reason. And did you know? I'm like, really? Oh, I'm sorry. I need to be vulnerable with you for a minute. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to us. Amen. Yep. I'm talking to us this morning because I've been guilty of this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. Corrupt communication. Listen to a couple of different Bible versions. One version says this, no rotten word must proceed from your mouth. Yeah. This is what another version says. Let not any filthy word go out of your mouth. Here's another version. Never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. This is what Ephesians said. Anybody got Ephesians in your Bible? Anybody ever read this before? Sad to say, I have. Why is it sad, David? Because I've let corrupt words come out of my mouth before. And so Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me this goes beyond what I'm saying? Do you mean to tell me I could grieve the Holy Spirit with my words? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. And are you grieving the Holy Ghost with your words? Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put far away from you with all malice or with all evil intentions, with all maliciousness. He said, put this away from you, not pull it to you. Not draw it close to your heart. Not go looking for it. Not rejoicing in it. I knew I should have had a revival sermon instead. I knew it. Absolutely. Here are some questions. Are you taking notes this morning? Get your ink pens, pencils out. I want you to write this down. Because I don't want to be in misery by myself as I struggle with this. Here are some questions that I ask myself if I am in an uncomfortable conversation. Question number one, is God getting any glory from this conversation? Whew, I just felt chills go down my face. The conversations I've had where God didn't get any glory from it. No glory. Somebody in your family make you mad, and you see another family member, and you don't talk roses and sunshine about the one that made you mad. This is not just about church. It's not just about job. You can do this in your family. You can do this with your children, your spouse. Wicked words are wicked words. And when the enemy tries to unleash his venom, it does not care where it unleashes the venom. Let me get back to my list. Number two. Am I being a good representative of the kingdom of God right now? As an ambassador of the kingdom, am I saying something that will draw people to Christ? Like, whoo, man, David really talked bad about that one. I want to get saved. No. You know, one of the worst things a person can tell you is that, I didn't know you were a Christian. Really? You're a Christian? Oh, man, me too. I didn't know that. How long have we been working together? 10 years. Oh, yes, I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Can't you tell? No, not by what you say.
Ladies, you travel all the way from North Carolina, and here I am preaching this hard message. But I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
I'm so glad you're here.
Right.
Amen. Number three, am I grieved inside from what is being said right now? Maybe the Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit is grieved, and maybe he's convicting you. Maybe he's saying you should be grieved right now. You should feel what I feel right now. Amen, little Jesse. Number four, does this conversation compromise my relationship with someone? Does it damage their reputation? Does it compromise my relationship with someone? And does it damage their reputation, who we're talking about? And here's my number five is my favorite. Number five is my favorite. Would I be willing to have this conversation with a microphone in my hand in front of Pastor Tardo and Faithful Word Assembly? Anybody, can we get a mic, Glenn, and let's talk about somebody? Anybody want to talk bad about somebody this morning? Let's get the mics back out. Let's get the mic back out and let's have some conversations. Are you willing to do that this morning? Anybody? Any takers? What if I pay you?
I'm a sinner, so I already know.
What if somebody said they'll pay you $100 to get up and just talk bad about people in front of the church? Would you take it? Well, I guess I get to keep my money. That's a test that we need to start testing ourselves with. When we have uncomfortable conversations, turn to Romans chapter 3 with me. I'm not going to drag this on all morning because I'm ready for God to move in this place this morning. But Romans chapter 10, when I read that this week, when I read this scripture, I was like, oh my goodness. This might be the first time I've read this scripture, and I know it's not. I guess when I read this scripture, I go over it as fast as I can. Romans chapter 3, and verse 10, I might have told you wrong. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3, 10, it says, as it is written, are you there with me?
Yes.
There is none righteous, no, not one. Do you see that?
Yes.
So I'm not saying we have to be perfect. I'm not saying we're perfect. But let's continue reading. I'm not giving you any excuses either. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, listen, he's saying there is none that doeth good. All of them are messing up. But what are they doing? What are some of the signs of what will we see? Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Remember that lie I told you not to fall for? That, oh, this poison won't hurt anyone. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just giving you this, but this is for your good. Sister Phyllis, I'm going to break my rule and come back down. Let's get back together again, and let's have... Sister Phyllis, let's talk amongst ourselves here. It's just poison. It's not poisonous. It's just venom. That's all. I have some venom to share with you. I have some venom to share with you. Whoo, it's some good venom. This is the juiciest venom I've heard all week. The word says this, the poison of asp is under their lips. This is how Weymouth says it. Their throats resemble an open grave. What do you see in a grave? Death. That's what graves are for. Their throats resemble an open grave, speaking death. With their tongue, they have been talking deceitfully. The venom of vipers lies hidden behind their lips. Wow. You talk about hitting me like a ton of bricks when I read that. It's like, wow. Paul had this viper hanging off of his hand, pumping venom in his hand, and they expected him to die. Now, he's saying here in Romans 13 that when people use deceitful words, their words is just like the venom of the viper that bit Paul when he was on the island.
Amen.
The same effect. It leads to death. Another version puts it this way. Their words are like an open pit, and their tongues are good only for telling lies. Each word is as deadly as the fangs of a snake. Wow. Whew. Church, America, wherever you're listening from, the venom injected from speaking, gossip, slander, or anything else about others is not a harmless act. If you believe this, you are deceived of the devil. Oh, wait, let me clean that up. I'm sorry, I should have said that a different way. Please don't believe that. You might be wrong. Is that a better way to say it? We dare not treat slander and gossip like it is a petty sin. Well, I don't look at porn. I'm not running around on my wife. I haven't robbed anybody. I haven't killed anybody. But brother, let me tell you something, what I heard. You see, if you're looking at porn all night, you feel convicted when you come to church. You can't raise your hands because the devil is all over you. If you talk trash to your wife before you came here, you can't raise your hand, or your husband, because the conviction is all over you. But you insert venom in your conversations and you come to church like, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, I love you. I don't like that brother over there, but Lord, I love you. Lord, I...
It's true,
right?
Yep.
We treat this like it's nothing. It's innocent. It's a lie from hell. It is a lie from hell. Gossip, slander, talking about people. It can cause divorce. It can cause murder. People have been killed because things have been said. And it got back to people. I know this personally. My nephew was murdered because of something that was said, a rumor, gossip, and he was caught up in a drive-by shooting because of what somebody said as gossip. And here I am preaching the funeral of my nephew over gossip. But oh, it's not that big a deal. It's just talking. Let me turn this page. How many times has gossip ruined marriages, destroyed families, shipwrecked relationships? What about this? How many times has it humiliated people? Oh my God, you know about my past?
Yeah.
How did you find out about my past? Look what's going on right now. Look at the cabinet members who are being selected. Every single one, if they broke the speed limit by a half a mile an hour, it is being plastered for the world to see. I would not want to be in that position for nothing in the world. No, David, we'll give you $1 million to serve as the secretary. No, baby. Uh-uh. I know I have a checkered past. I know I've done some foolish thing. No, leave me out of this. Look at all of the stuff that's being said. You know what? I was up at 3 a.m. this morning, and here is what I heard. Cyberbullying. Cyberbullying. And I was like, cyberbullying? What has that got to do with anything? And so I kept hearing it, so I grabbed my phone. 3 a.m., okay, cyberbullying. First thing I come to is a video about this young girl in Australia. Her name was Chloe. 15-year-old girl. She was bullied in school. And physically, they were bullying this girl. Then it went to social media. And they started to bully her on social media. Yes. And she ended up committing suicide. She left the school and went to another school. And it started all over again. Do you know, I was thinking, you know, people do it all the time. They leave churches.
That's right.
People leave churches because they're bullied. We call it, let me tell you about sister so-and-so. No, that is bullying. You are saying words that, when I got to hearing her story and reading her story, I'm like, that was slander and gossip.
That's right.
That's all that is. We call it cyberbullying, but it's slander and gossip.
That's right. Yeah.
And finally, when she found out, they said they were going to post this video online. Do you know what happened, which pushed her over the edge? 45 people liked it and said, I want to see this video of this girl getting beat up. 45 people liked that post, and they surmised that she said, I can't take it anymore. I don't want people to see what happened to me. 45 people said, I want to join in with this conversation about Chloe. Are you hearing me this morning?
Oh, yeah.
What happens when you say, I want to join in with this conversation? I want to, you're like, I like that. Hey, you want to hear something? And I click like, heart, thumbs up. Yeah, I want to hear it. They said among themselves, I just got one more thing to say. Then I'm going to go to my last point. They said among themselves, if you have not taken the time to personally go and have a conversation with the person and not taken the time to pray for the person, then you need to shut your mouth and stop talking about the person. Was that nice enough? I was trying to sugarcoat it as best I could. This is what John Kilpatrick talked about, the pastor of the Brownsville Revival. Now, this is what excites me about this message. This is really a positive message. Because this is what God does. God doesn't say, you know what, I love you, but I'm going to let you stay the way that you are. God says, I love you, and I'm going to show you how you can come closer to my heart.
Amen.
I love you so much, I'm going to expose this, and we're going to get this out of the way so that I can draw you closer to me, because today might be the day. John Kilpatrick said this. He said, he believes that prayer was the number one prerequisite to the Brownsville Revival. Do you know what the Brownsville Revival is, what I'm talking about? Okay. He said prayer was the number one prerequisite to the Brownsville Revival. He said, here was number two. He said the number two prerequisite was that people in the church stop the practice of speaking ill about their church, about their pastor. They stop speaking curses over each other.
Wow.
And they stop speaking ill of themselves. Man, when I heard that, it was like, wow, this is crazy. I thought he said prayer number one. I thought number two would be fasting. I thought it would be angelic visitation. I thought it would be Pastor Russell Tardo came and preached here, and that broke it, the floodgates open. No. Prayer and shut your mouth.
Amen.
And if you open your mouth, speak what God says.
Amen.
That's what he said. Now, let me hurry up to the good part. Church, there is so much at stake right now. Here's what's at stake. We have, and I'm talking America, there's so much at stake right now. This country is on a tipping point right now. We're on the verge of world war. I mean, we're right there on the edge. They just said, the Biden administration has just said that, with what I've heard, that they're saying that they're going to allow Ukraine to start using some weapons that can go into the heart of Russia.
Right.
Now, it's one problem with these weapons. Ukraine doesn't have the technology to guide these weapons. So guess who has to guide the weapons?
The
Wait a minute. That means we're going to war with Russia if we start doing that.
That's right.
That means NATO is going to be at war with Russia. And you know, boy, I could get off on a tangent with this one. Putin is not going to say, oh, that venom doesn't hurt. I know you're not trying to hurt me. We are right on the edge, the tipping point of nuclear weapons. You just don't know. I'm not trying to grandstand this sermon by saying that. That's where we are. There's too much at stake right now for the church not to be on its P's and Q's. The church has to have clean hands and a pure heart right now, because we need to be praying, God save America. God keep our country. God put godly people in office. Father God, we pray that you preserve us. You know what else is at stake right now? We're believing God for family members to be saved. We don't need to have our hands stained with venom, because we got too much we're believing God for. People have sicknesses and diseases that we are believing for them to receive miracles for.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. How many want to see some miracles today in 2024? We want to see miracles. We want to see healing. We want to see the gifts of the Holy Ghost working in this church. That's why God is saying this morning, you know what? We're going to put this behind us once and for all, and we're going to draw close to the Father's heart.
Amen.
Here is one truth that I'm really glad about. What people think and say about you is not going to stop what God thinks and says about you. It's not going to stop the plan of God that God has for your life. You can talk about me. You can talk about you. You can talk about you. I can talk about you. But I will not stop God's plans and purposes that He has ordained for your life.
Amen.
Whoo! Say what you want to say. God's going to take me where He wants me to go. You can say what you want to say about me, but you won't stop me. You're not going to stop me because it's going to be just like fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. One version says to give you hope, to give you a future. That's what God says. This is what He said, Isaiah 54:17. He says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. I remember reading one version. It says, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you will be exposed and cast down.
Amen.
And every courtroom lie will be exposed, I think the virgin said.
Amen.
No weapon formed against you, will prosper. So you may ask, as I close, what do I do or say if I'm approached by someone who's speaking gossip or slander on my job, with my family, in the community? I'm not going to say church because that don't happen in church. But anywhere else, what do I do? You got your ink pen? Three things I want you to do. Here's number one. I want you to speak out and speak up against the negativity. I want you to say, hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. Hang on a second. We can't go there. I can't go there with you. And I found myself doing that a lot lately in the last several months, telling people, wait, time out. Time out. I'm not going there with you. Speak up against negativity. Number one, respectfully state the facts about what is being said, that what is being said is not in line with the Word of God or the practices of the church. That's number one. Here's number two. Offer a better perspective. Offer a better perspective on the subject and interject words of life and truth. Yeah, I know Brother David. I know he messes up sometimes, but do you know that brother loves you and prays for you and fasts for you and he's hungry, going without food because he wants to see you healed? Do you know that about him? Or do you know that your mom really, really loves you? I know she told you you couldn't do that, but your mother loves you. Speak positive. Speak life into the conversation. Speak life about the person who is being talked about. Here's number three. If this happens at church, on very rare occasions, if it happened once in a lifetime, number three is this. If your efforts are not received and the behavior persists, speak to the pastor or myself about it.
Amen.
Come talk to us. Like, Pastor, Pastor David, Pastor Rusty, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I know we're believing God for healing. I know we're believing God for some serious things. And here's what keeps going on. I just need to have a conversation with you. And if you do that, please know that you can come and talk to us about anything or anybody. Because we will treat the matter with the highest level of confidentiality, and we will treat the matter with the utmost respect. Did you hear what I just said? Do you believe me? Please believe me. And here's the last thing. If you need to talk about me, go talk to Pastor Tardo. Talk to leaders in the church. Brother Vic, Brother Bob, talk to them about me. Feel free. I ask you to talk to them about me. You know why? Because I trust them to have my best interest in mind.
Amen.
And they will come to me and say, Brother David, you know what? You messed that one up, brother. I need to talk to you. And I'm going to say, Brother Bob, I trust you.
Amen.
I trust you.
Praise God.
And I will submit to what my pastor says. I will say, Pastor, you know what? I was wrong. I will apologize for what I did, for what I said.
Amen.
Nobody is exempt. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo, let me close this book. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to do something, Brother Vic. This might be the day. This is what I want to do, church. I want us to pray. I want us to pray. You know that clock on the wall? It's broken. Man, I was about to go for another 30 minutes, and I don't have another 30 minutes. I just realized that looking at my watch. Wow. Wow. What kind of trick is this? I fell for it, Pastor. Too late, Glenn. It's too late. Wow. Here's what I want to do. I want us all to pray.
Amen.
We're all about to pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're going to go to God together.
Amen.
As a body, as a church. And we're going to repent together as a body, as a church. But guess what God's going to do? He's going to forgive us. And if he forgives, you know what goes along with forgiveness of sins? Healing. Divine healing. And we need some divine healing in our church right now. So you guys online, thank you for going along on this journey with us. I want you to pray with us. I didn't realize it was so late, but wake up, put that chicken leg down. Just because you're on your couch don't mean you can be eating chicken, and put it down because we're about to pray. We're about to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we come to you asking you, Lord God, to open our ears and open our hearts. And the word that was shared today, Father, I pray that the body knows it was shared from my heart, from a heart of love. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the word would go and penetrate deep into our hearts today. Church, I want you in your own way to pray right now. Let's just pray together. Lord, and I want you to pray, Father, forgive me. Forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us, Lord God, for the sin of injecting venom into the lives of others. Father, forgive us. Forgive this church. Lord, I pray that those at home, Lord, forgive them. If there's been opportunities where we all have been subject to conversations, whether we were the one speaking, the one listening, the one agreeing with, we've all been wrong. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that if there's any demonic attack coming against this church because of words that have been spoken, Father, we ask you to forgive us. And in Jesus' name, Father, we pray that that door will be closed in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, Lord, even in this service, Lord God, even as we repent before you, we pray that if there is any sickness, any disease, any infirmity that the enemy has been allowed to come in through an open door, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray that that door right now is closed and that you would begin to go throughout this building and heal and touch and deliver. We believe you, Father, for miracles. We believe you that today, that right now, physical healing is taking place in this church. I believe you right now, Lord, that physical healing is taking place in this church, Lord God. And online, I pray that those who may be sick, those who may be going through diagnosis from the doctor, those who have heard that negative report, I pray in the name of Jesus that the anointing of healing would flow through this church right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, where there has been any division in homes and families, I pray in Jesus' name that you would mend relationships, Lord God. Mend relationships in the name of Jesus. Father, where parents haven't spoken to children and children haven't spoken to parents, I pray that you would mend those relationships even now in Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for those who have been going through any financial difficulty, I pray that you would, Lord God, begin to give increase financially. Give increase on their jobs. Lord, give increase, Father God, where there is lack in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray today that we would have a renewed vision, that we would begin to walk together, that we would begin to speak together as one church, as one body. I believe today, Lord God, and I ask you, Father God, that this church would come together in a way that has never been seen before, that we would come together in unity, that we would come together in love. And Father, I pray that this church would come together embracing each other.